Hello and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. I got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, master of the sounds for the podcast, connoisseur of hats, Texas closet fan, sort of Rams fan, mostly Broncos fan, and one of my best friends, Jody. What's up, Joe?
That's good, bro. I would say that last one probably flipped at this point in time, honestly. I'll keep up with the Broncos stuff. Obviously, Johnny and Mitch are invested in it, and I get lumped in. But I feel like the Rams is probably one of the few teams I've actually like come to like on my own. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, growing up, we liked the Lakers. We liked the Angels. But that was like, I was kind of born, and that was where we were. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, you're a Padres fan. That's a little different. But I mean, you know, you get born into the teams. Yeah. I was like, what's Lewis and Clark have to do with it? No, I got you. Yeah, it's over on the left. But no, I mean, I don't know. It's just a change of times, you know. It's been, I guess, what, like 3 years, 4 years since the stadiums opened back up. And that's kind of where it all began. Just started going all those games that first year it was back. And they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And, you know, here we are.
That makes me happy as a fellow Rams fan.
I will say, but you are one of like two people I know that was actually Rams fans since the beginning of time.
Hey, man, we stuck it out with the – there's some miserable times there until we got McVay. So, but, yeah, I am excited because we're getting down the stretch here. The draft is right around the corner. We're actually like finally getting to the point where we'll find out who plays for who and where these guys go to and how they fit in schemes and all that good stuff. But we've got two more position groups to evaluate today. Yep. We're finishing up on the defensive side of the ball with the safeties. And I don't know about you, but I was pleasantly surprised with the group.
Yeah, no, same. I feel like it was a nice group of dudes. They all do something a little different, but they're all good at like what they do. You know what I mean? There was only one dude who was like shorter, which was kind of interesting, you know, compared to the rest of the group. And then, yeah, I mean, I was surprised seeing the COVID year pop up. I was thrown off. I was like, whoa. I was like, I got to do some math real quick. I was like, oh, that's 5 years. But yeah, I mean, I liked the group as a whole. It was tough to like, I think like around like three or four, normally it's like, okay, there's a separation and you pick the best from the rest. But I feel like this one was like three and four. You're like, who do I like more? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So. No, I think last year's safety group was a little underwhelming. You know, we liked Brian Branch, but we also at the time even said he wasn't like a true safety prospect. He's more of a slot guy, slot corner, you know, sort of really sort of that hybrid slot DB plus could be a safety, and he played more of the slot role last year. He was clearly the best one in the group. But from there, you know, Sidney Brown was a guy that I liked. He got to play a lot in Philly and did a good job. Basically, nobody else in the class really got much of a shot. I think Jordan Battle got a little shot in Cincinnati and did okay. But yeah, we didn't get to really see much else from the safeties in that class this last season. And coming through the process, I don't think either one of us was thinking we would necessarily. Outside of Brian Branch and maybe Sidney Brown. So this year, you know, I'd kind of heard, you know, prior to actually evaluating the tape, some similar things. Hey, you hear a lot about Tyler Newbin in Minnesota, but other than that guy, I hadn't really heard a whole lot about a lot of these safeties. And I'll tell you, watching it, I think there's a legit group of four or five guys that can be very good this year pretty quickly, can fulfill a role on a team.
I agree.
Pretty quickly, whether it's a starter or that third guy playing in sub packages a lot. I think the five guys we're going to talk about today, I would be surprised if they don't all have a role early on the team that drafts them. So it's a surprisingly good group. It has some real talented dudes at the top. It's maybe a little bit deeper you might expect. Again, it's not quite like the receiver or O-line or even the corner groups, but I think it's surprisingly good compared to what we've heard about it.
No, yeah, I mean, let's Let's dive into it, bro. I mean, I didn't cheat this week. I wanted to, you know what I mean? I took a peek at who you ranked, but other than that, I didn't. I had finished mine before you had uploaded the stuff, so I was like, I don't even have to worry about it. Normally, I just scroll, click. So yeah, that was good. But let me see. Do you pull it up right here?
I got it up. Can we not see it?
Oh, I didn't get the sound popping that it was good. Ooh. That's probably my computer telling me I need to update my computer. So a lot of the stuff isn't working. So that's probably why it's too old, bro. 2015. It's breaking down on me. But yeah, kicking us off, we got Tyler Newbin, as you mentioned off the top, from Minnesota. He's 6'2", 199 on his weight. Not quite 200. He'll get there soon. He got the 5-year. That's what I was talking about with the COVID year. He played 47 games, got 206 tackles over the span with 26 pass breakups. He's got 13 interceptions, 35% completion percentage when thrown his way. He's got 3 touchdowns allowed. And then I'm assuming that means he was in the box percentage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was box inside percentage. The box, 12%.
Yep. So we wanted to look at, you know, with these safeties, the versatility. It's always kind of interesting to see how often they're in the box or over the slot or, you know, truly playing safety from depth. Tyler Newbin, like, super experienced guy. He played for Minnesota for a long time and had a really good career there. Like I said, I mean, he almost played 50 games in college. That's a lot of ball. You know, high tackle guy, 206 tackles in that time period. A lot of production, a lot of things to like. I mean, first and foremost, the vision and the angles. You know, there's an old saying when you talk to safeties or anyone who sits in the middle of the field. And I think I brought this up last year when we talked about the safeties, but you get one shot to find the angle.
That's for sure.
Right. When you're playing that middle field safety, you get one break. And whatever that first step goes to, almost no one's good enough to adjust it on the run and still get there. Right. So you get one shot to find the angle on the throw, and any incorrect angle can be the difference between an interception or a touchdown the other way, right?
Yep, definitely.
And so Tyler Newbin does a really good job of seeing the concept, understanding, you know, space and where he needs to be to make a play. And I think it shows up both in the run game and the pass game. He makes a lot of plays near the line of scrimmage from depth in the run game because he sees it there too, takes great angles in pursuit. So lots to like about him. You know, we'll go through this. Like I said, the ability to kind of one shot to find the angle, right? He's puts himself in position on the post or the corner right here to be on the overthrow. Again, driving on the dig right there. You get the tip. Well, now he's already driving it. He probably would have picked it even if it hadn't been tipped. Almost scores against Purdue. Once again, you know, cutting underneath the backside dig route. So he's really good about, like I said, finding angles on that one. Another one where on the post ball breaks it up. Now you see it in the run game against Illinois coming up off the edge. Again, one shot to find the angle, right?
Yeah.
This huge play against Iowa. And then once again against Purdue, or Illinois, I should say. Once again in pursuit, I think he takes great angles too. So it shows up in everything that he does, run, pass. You can see his ability to make plays because he has great vision. He sees it and he makes the correct, or he takes the correct angles in pursuit of the ball. So really like that about him. You can tell, you know, I give credit to his, whoever was coaching him there, because that is a thing that, you know, you can coach. So I would say that whoever was coaching him did a really good job. Next thing that I love about him, great ball skills for a safety.
Yeah.
You know, same. 13 interceptions in his career. He only ever dropped 2 interceptions during that 5-year period. And there's, you know, you can see it. There's a big reason why. Here you go against Rutgers last year in the fourth quarter. You know, it's a close game, 2-possession game early in the fourth quarter. Look at that. One, that's finding the angle once again. But two, getting the feet in bounds, securing the interception. This one, he just takes it from the Nebraska player. Once again, critical situation. Fourth quarter, you know, late in the game, tie ball game, and he makes that play, snatches it out of the air from the receiver. he looked like the receiver on that one. There you go against Northwestern. Once again, you know, he's dropping an underneath coverage, you know, drops under the out route, picks it. Here you go against Illinois. Again, another great job of finding the angle and then getting underneath the route and picking it. This also is another huge play. It seemed like all of his interceptions came at massive times for them. This is in the fourth quarter where they're up by five against Illinois. So he has great ball skills for a safety. You always kind of love that when you have a safety who's not only good at, like I said, finding the angle, playing from depth, but then can actually do something with the ball once it gets there. And then last but not least, I think he's got great change of direction and really good play speed. You know, we love to talk about the ability to change directions for receivers all the time, but equally important for defensive backs, right? Especially ones that play in the middle of the field. And he has really elite ability to change direction and great speed to make plays. Here you go against Iowa, coming from depth on the blitz, on the pressure. And he's able to kind of flip his hips, get back around, and get the fumble recovery.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that's a huge play for your team right there. Great change of direction and combined with the speed on the pressure. Once again, right here, breaking downhill. Great speed to get there, force the turnover on downs. In the red zone, the speed to run across all the way across the back line of the end zone with the receiver and make sure that he doesn't make that catch. That's a great play against Iowa. Another pressure. He gets the sack, forces the fumble near the end zone. His team's able to go recover it and put himself his team in the red zone right away. So really like Tyler Newbin. Reminds me a lot of Harrison Smith in that they're extremely reliable. They seem to always be in the right spot. They are huge, big time playmakers, and they're going to give you some in the run game and the pass game as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tough, savvy. I think all of those words describe both those guys. I mean, that's young Harrison Smith going against Megatron and making that play. You know, you love that. That's a safety with ball skills to make sure Calvin Johnson's not going to make that catch. He didn't quite come up with it himself, but dude, come on now. That's prime Megatron. No one did that to him, right?
Real though.
Okay. He almost pulls this one in against Washington. RG3, so you know this is early Harrison Smith once again, but great play there. And then here you go. Now you see the interception. Go turn it into a touchdown, young fella. Come on. There we go, Harrison Smith.
Goals, right, goal,
big
goal.
Big play for his team, of course. So I think you can see a lot of the playmaking ability. You know, obviously this is all in the pass game, and I know we got some run game stuff coming up here. Even here, pursuing from that middle of the field, coming all the way back down, making the play against the screen, TFL. That's always a fun one. There you go. There it is in the run game from depth.
Meet him at the line.
So I think, like I said, you can see a lot of similarities, not just that they both played at in Minnesota for the last few years, but the similarities in their game, size overall as well, size, weight, speed, all that stuff is pretty comparable between these two. And I think Tyler Newbin could have a very similar, you know, long 10 to 15 year career that Harrison Smith has found a home and had with the Vikings during his time in the league. But Joe, your thoughts on Tyler Newbin?
Yeah, I had two out of the three that you had written down as well. I put he was a ball hawk. I'm pretty sure when I watched this film, it was like the first three or four plays were all picks. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Some good returns on those. I had good angles on tackles. There was a play I remember where they bounced it out left towards the sideline, and he was like up at the line of scrimmage, and instead of staying like parallel, he like took a step like behind it, I guess, on his side of the line of scrimmage, and like met the dude only like a yard past where it was, which was nice. That's like what stood out to me for the angles. And then I put he had a big impact on the catch point. So a lot of the time he would like hit the dude from behind, the classic, like they catch it and just like, yeah, I mean, the ball goes flying over the shoulders.
Yep.
I saw those happen a few times as well.
Yep. I totally agree with all of that. You know, I think right now that's part of why he's projected as the first safety to go off the board. A lot of people having him sneaking it. You know, if you went back like 2 months ago, he was like a surefire first round pick. More recently, I think a lot of people are like, ah, does he sneak into those bat last like four or five picks around one, or does he become an early day, you know, day two pick? And it's looking more and more like he may be an early day two pick. It'll probably depend on, once again, what happens kind of with receivers, O-line, quarterbacks early on, and then the way the rest of the draft board falls. But he may sneak into the first round, likely an early day two pick is what it looks like for him. But I think he has the ability to be an elite middle of the field or half field safety for the team that drafts him. I mean, his route recognition, ability to change direction, finding the right angles makes him an awesome deep safety. And like I said, I think he even gives you added run support from that depth. So that's a plus too. Mm-hmm, so kid's a playmaker. I'm excited to see where he goes.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say for him is I didn't have no combine numbers. So that's why I just like, you know, went right over those. Everyone else did something, but he was the only one that, you know, probably just stuck to the pro day or, you know, talk to the teams out there. But the next guy we're taking a look at is going to be Javon Bullard out of Georgia. He's 5'11", 198. This is the smaller dude I was talking about earlier. He's played for 3 years, got 38 games, 120 tackles during the 3 years with 18 pass breakups. He's got 4 interceptions. They got 39% completion percentage throwing at him with 2 touchdowns allowed. And then he was in the box 9% of the time.
Javon Bullard was one of those ones.
I got that, a 40 number.
Oh, yeah, hit me.
He went 4.47 on the 40 with 1.51 on the 10-yard.
Our last guy didn't have 40 numbers, so it messed me up.
No, you're good. I told you. No, you're like, good. That's what happened earlier.
We were like QB receiver that was off on the timing right there. I ran my slant at 4 steps. You were expecting me to run it at 3.
That's what I was about to say. I ran it too deep or took it too shallow when it went over my head.
These guys that we're talking about would love that. But Javon Bullard was one of the ones that impressed me a lot on tape compared to like what I'd heard. I think the first thing that stood out, you know, there's a play early on in his tape that I was watching. I think this is it right here, where you see him open up like he's getting to the middle of the field right now, and then he flips his hips back to play the half field. And to make that play right there, I said, whoa, that's different, because there's not a lot of safeties that have that kind of hip mobility. You can see it great from this angle. To be able to hip, you know, you see those drills done all the time, but guys almost never can apply them in game where they're – hip to flip to square to back the other way and then to go make that play on the break. I was like, wow, that's really impressive. Like I said, generally safeties, they're just not as loose as corners in the hip. Normally, if they're that loose, they're a corner, you know, because it's just hard to find guys like that.
I had that written down.
But for him, he does a really good job being able to flip his hips and make a lot of plays. And you see it here again against Missouri. Being able to, it's tough to see from the angle, but you can see he's another, you know, middle of the field safety look, and then breaking to that vertical route. Being able to turn and run with the Alabama receiver here, and then make that play in the SEC championship. Here you go against Vanderbilt, another one where he's in the middle of the field. He's going to, you know, break to the vertical ball, that the fade route, and break it up, runs into his own guy. And then this one, you know, he's outside leverage, they're going to run, kind of try and run the slot fade on him. And to be able to, again, flip your hips in the slot like that, go make that a tough catch. Mm-hmm. It's impressive stuff from a safety. It's the stuff that's really hard to do. I think the next thing is, it's just very clear. He's highly intelligent. He's got great play recognition. I think this is a guy who you could tell studied a lot of tape, because there's a lot of plays where it felt like pre-snap, he's already moving where the ball is going to be, or just at the you know, first second of post snap. He made a ton of plays by, you know, seemingly see them before they happened. Right. I mean, right here, he's like a freaking bullet on that slant.
Shot right out.
I love that play. The physicality of it too is great, but just the fact that he recognized it when he did is what allowed him to make this play. This one against Auburn is one of my favorites. Do you see the quarterback getting the snap right now, just barely in his hands? Javon Bullard is at 10 yards. He's moving forward because he knows. Look at this. He knows. Yeah. He's like, oh, RPO. I know what you guys do on first and 10. I know it's the hitch RPO. I'm going to go break on that and dang near get an interception. I mean, from 10 yards away, that's so hard to do to make that play the way he made it. And once again, you could tell it's a film study thing. He could see it before it happened. And, you know, you'll see it again here.
I don't know how Florida doesn't have 15 retired. I saw that. I was like, is that Tebow? I was like, ain't no way he was playing that long ago.
Yeah. I mean, you see him coming down and he sees it right away. I mean, dang near an interception. And I'm sure the coverage dictated that he was buzzing to the hook. But even with that, I mean, the intent, you know, the instincts to see it and go right here. Once again, he recognizes the play that, hey, even though there's false pullers going the other way, it's going back, right?
Yeah.
Bash back the other way. I'm going to go find it and make this play for a tackle for loss against one of the best backs in college football last year, Quinshon Judkins, right? I love the finishing at the end too with the tackle.
Yeah. Physical.
Here we go. I see screen. I'm going to come downhill, help make a play on this, keep them short on a critical third and three against, you know, early in the season against UT Martin. There you go against Auburn. Once again, I'm going to set an edge, hold it, recognize the play, make the tackle. Once again, Missouri, oh, I see pullers. I'm a little dude, but I'm going to keep myself outside, use the sideline as my friend, tackle Cody Schrader, one of the better backs in the SEC last year. Once again, against Vanderbilt. I mean, so there's a million of these. He's also pretty physical for being a 5'11 dude. So he's not just seeing plays, he's also finishing. And then last but not least, I thought he played with great technique on the back end, what we call the hook and stab. Essentially, you know, you're going to put the far hand hooking, you know, the bottom half of the receiver, so you're securing the tackle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then stabbing with the near hand through his through his, you know, his hands on the ball. It's teach tape stuff that I guarantee you every DB coach loves. And he never panics. Like this one right here against Joe Milton in Tennessee, you know, you got the scissors route, right? And then it bows back out to become a fade. And he's beat right here, right? He's a full step behind. But he keeps running. He gets to that hip. And then right at the moment that the ball hits the guy's hands, he stabs through. Perfect. Never panicked.
Oh, locked in.
Then he gets to celebrate at the end. Look at that. Great hands. Without, you know, interfering either.
Yep.
This one is a perfect hook and stab. Hook with the forearm, stab with the near arm, incompletion. Mm-hmm. You can see it right here. You know, hook and stab. Forearm, near arm. Just like I said, teach tape stuff. Boom. Really good. Against Alabama in the red zone, Jermaine Burton in the SEC championship. You almost can't tell that he forced an incompletion there. But he did. And then he's talking crap to him as he gets away. That should have been a touchdown, honestly. And the hook stab technique that he used right there, again, shows coachable. And even if it's not been coached or, you know, it's instinctual, then either way. But that's a great thing to have in your arsenal as a defensive back. Love that. Guy he reminds me of the most is Eddie Jackson, who came out of Alabama. I don't know what it's been 8 years, maybe, I think. Eight years. Yeah, and he's been a really good player in Chicago for a long time. But I think he reminds me a lot of Eddie Jackson, a little bit smaller than Eddie Jackson, but just similar, like the instinctual ability right there, the recognition. Eddie Jackson ends up with the pick. Here you go against the Cardinals. Once again, being able to, you know, play the deep half, recognize the play, get there. The tackling and finishing on the ball as well with the physicality. Same thing here against the big tight end. It's just so I think the recognition, the hip mobility, the ability to, you know, the playmaker, finishing on the ball, the tackling, all of it, I think really similar guys here. Again, that one, he just sees it, stops it before it ever happens, before it ever gets started. On third and five, same thing. So when they see it, they have that similar trait of great breaks on the ball, and they finish plays too. So like the comp from that standpoint. But what do you think about Javon Bullard, Joey?
All right, so I had you had the hook and stab. I wrote down good hands at the catch point, basically the same exact thing where he would be able to stick his arm through the ball and punch it out so that they would get an incompletion. I wrote down the finger wag. We saw it a couple times. That was his go-to celly. I said he was good at corner. He just seemed real fluid to where, like you said, with his hip mobility, same thing. And then lastly, I wrote he loves ankles. So we didn't see none of them, but whenever he was running up on the running back, he was diving at the ankles where they go flying head over heels. You know, I saw that plenty of times. So I was like, stay away from this guy. He's going to take him out.
Yeah. Right now, seen him a lot in that pick 50 to 75 range, you know. Back end of the second round, early part of the third round seems to be kind of consensus for him. You know, we'll see where he goes. I think he's a savvy safety with enough athleticism to make a ton of plays in zone coverage. I think he can play the middle of the field safety as well as like a safety buzzing to the flat or the hook. We saw him doing a lot of that stuff at Georgia. He's athletic enough to pattern match carry routes when you ask him to. I think he's probably pretty quickly a starter. I think he makes an impact fairly quickly, which is why, you know, he's projected in that top 75 range.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be surprised if he gets out of the third round. I'd be really surprised. So, he's a good player.
All right, so the next guy we'll take a look at is going to be Cole Bishop out of Utah. He's 6'2", 206, played for 3 years. We got 35 games with 194 tackles, 11 pass breakups. He's got 3 picks with 56 completion percentage throwing at him. He's allowed 6 touchdowns. And then after that first slide, when we seen the box percentage, I was like, oh, his has to be high because that's where he was the whole time, playing up in the run game a lot. So his is actually high. It's 35%. And then for his numbers, I think he also did the most out of anyone at the combine. He did a 4.45 on his 40 with 1.52 on the 10-yard, 39-inch vert with 10.4 on the broad jump.
Yeah, I mean, Cole Bishop, the biggest thing I could say about him is the versatility is really high. I mean, he's one of the more versatile games of this safety group. I think he can align as a deep safety. He can line over the slot. He can line up in the box. He's athletic enough to play some man. He's disciplined enough to play some zone. He's tough enough to just play in the box and play against the run game. You see, like, so I specifically gave you all of the clips in this versatility cut-up are from one game. All the different places he lined up in one game against Florida in 2023. So right now, here he is as the deep half-field safety. Okay? Once again, this is a tough route to cover on that dig from where he was at, and he goes down, makes a play. Okay, now he's deep half safety again. Getting true to the half, but all the way across the field to make this tackle on the other sideline is impressive. Okay, now he's middle of the field safety. Okay, I can flip, turn around, turn and run, find the football. Once again, I'm going to make a tackle way down the field. And he forced a fumble. They didn't recover it, but he did force the fumble. Okay, now he's playing on the nub side, essentially like another guy in the box, right, with the tight end, true tight end nub. That's a hard position for any DB to play. They'll tell you it's one of the harder ones because they force you to play in the run game. But he loves that part, so he's good with that. He's right there. And they blitz him off the edge. They send him, and he goes and makes the sack. Okay, now he's over the slot out here. Zone coverage, zone drop, go find the football. When it's completed, tackle it. Okay, now I'm back to that middle of the field look.
Yeah.
I can flip and turn and run and take away the read that he wanted, and it forces a sack. Okay, now I'm in the box, true in the box in the boundary side. Zone drop to the flat. I see the throw, tackle it. Great finishing ability. Okay, now I'm back to the half field look.
Yep.
Now the break was a little tough, I'll tell you. He got outside his body. But the finishing downhill, great angle, tackling the ball, that's all good. So in one game, he played 6 different positions. If I have a kid that can do that, 1, it tells me he's super smart. 2, it tells me he's tough. 3, it tells me he's athletic. which if you're telling me I'm getting a smart, tough, athletic safety, that's pretty good, right? Okay, the next thing is the tackling. Love his tackling. He had 194 tackles in three seasons. That's an average of 65 tackles a season while he was at Utah, 9 tackles for a loss per season. He had 27 total there. Really good numbers for a safety. He tracks the ball well, not afraid to put his face in the fan, as old school coaches will tell you. Put that face in the fan, right? Against Oregon, sitting here right on that edge, he sets the edge, makes a tackle against Bucky Irving. Here you go against Oregon this year. Come downhill, pow! Once again, that's another one of those one shot to find the angle. He found it, made the tackle. Against Florida 2 years ago, and Anthony Richardson, he's the quarterback player, but he's savvy enough to fold back in on the dive and makes the tackle. Once again, in that same game, he's in the box right here, goes with his responsibility to the flat, then comes back, folds in, makes a tackle on Anthony Richardson, which we know when we did the Anthony Richardson deep dive last year, he was a hard guy to tackle. Right? He's not afraid to put his face in the fan and make that tackle. That's why they played him in the box so much, and he was successful at it. Boom. Really good stuff.
Yeah, fighting on that play too.
Here's this one once again. Anthony Richardson, tough guy to tackle. Bo Bishop had no problem against him. I mean, it helps that he's 6'2", 206. That's a big safety, man.
Yeah,
big sure. safety, which is why he can get away with playing in the box as much as he does at that size, right? And then last but not least, I think his zone drops are really good. I think that's where he's at his best when you ask him to be in coverage. You know, he's underneath zone drops, good feel for space, has good mobility and fluidity, flips his hips pretty well, recognizes concepts and where he should be in relation to him. So here you go. He's in the box right here. He's going to drop out in the hook, feel it, make the play, right? Great job. They try to run a little space route, sit route right in front of him. He makes the play. Once again, on the nub against Florida, dropping to the flat. Now he's got to go with the vertical first, but then he flips his hips back, makes the tackle on the short route. Now he's over the slot. True zone, though, right? Does a really good job, you know, it's a pattern matching zone where he has to carry that guy. He did a good job against it, right? Forced him to go the other way. Once again, now he's in a carry technique again, does a good job of eliminating the guy in the concept that was his. This one's really tough because of the concept. Now you'd see I did flip, turn, and run with it. And again, takes his man away. So I think he does a really good job in underneath zone coverage or when he's having to carry guys on, you know, like a three-match type concept. Does a really good job in those situations. Reminds me a lot of a guy that Bill Belichick loved in New England for the last few years. Was originally a San Diego Charger, and that's Adrian Phillips. Now I'll tell you, Adrian Phillips is 5'11", right? So Cole Bishop has a little bit higher ceiling because he's 6'2". But they are similar weight right now. Now, I imagine Cole Bishop will probably put on 10 more pounds in the league. But Adrian Phillips loves playing in that box, even as a 5'11", 200-pound dude. Really good at it because he's just tough as nails. Doesn't fear putting that face in the fan. But he's also a great, savvy zone dropper, right? So you see all the plays he's making right here in the backfield because he's playing near the line of scrimmage, playing in the box. He really likes that stuff. But then he can zone drop and recognize, oh, it's screen, and I'll go make the play because I'm more athletic than a linebacker playing in that box, right? I'm tough enough that I can survive in there, but I'm athletic enough that, you know, I make a lot of plays in the passing game. There you go. Once again, he's an underneath zone dropper. You see what happens, right? Zach Wilson is in conflict because Kyle Duggar is actually the other zone dropper here, right? He wants to throw this one, but he's not sure, so he tries to kind of fit it over the top, and then it goes high. Adrian Phillips ends up with the pick on the tip, right? Once again, he's on the edge in the red zone. That's Leonard Fournette. Yeah. Dude outweighs him by 30 pounds, right? Making that play. And then he gets revenge on his old Chargers team. Tip, once again, in underneath zone coverage. Gets the pick and comes back. Second half, similar deal. Flat dropper. They never see him. Dives for it and is able to get up. And go get yourself a touchdown, son. There we go. Hold up the ball. Let him know. Shouldn't have let me go. All right. So, like I said, I think Cole Bishop can fulfill or be in a similar role to what Adrian Phillips has done. You know, Adrian Phillips at one time, first team All-Pro, special teamer. I think Cole Bishop gives you some value there too. Just a really savvy, smart, tough football player. I really like him.
Yeah, for me, I obviously I talked about him playing in the box. I wrote down he plays up on the line a lot, you know, kind of similar to like an outside backer more often than not. I said he plays free, like when we talked about, I think it was Latu, you said that he just plays like every day. Could it be taken away any moment? I feel like that's how he played. Just, you know, being able to do a lot more in the run game compared to other dudes, like I think that truly was a feeling for when I saw him going up and making those tackles. Like, he was laying the hammer sometimes. It wasn't just like, I'm a, you know, just wrap up your legs or trip you up because you got past me. Like, I feel like he was truly trying to knock heads. And then I put, I guess, not afraid of contact. I guess those two pretty much go hand in hand in that at that point. And so, yeah, I mean, he impressed me, I think, a lot, similar to Javon Ballard as, like, being more so, at least to me, he looked more like a true corner, where he impressed me in just how powerful and like truly, you know, free he played. I mean, I guess I have no other way to put it in my eyes.
Yeah. Right now I've seen a lot of stuff with him in round three. So I'm wearing round three. Mm-hmm. He's kind of in a similar range to where we talked about Javon Bullard, maybe going a little bit later on his top end and back end. So I've seen a lot, like somewhere between pick 60 and 90. I think he feels like a third safety for a team right now. Come in, play in the nickel packages on early down. His toughness and versatility will make him a valuable player. Because I think as a coach, you feel like, all right, I can live with him in the run game and have better matchups against tight ends and slots in the passing game. So he's tough enough. He can play in that box. Athletic enough, can play over that slot. And then every so often, I can put him truly deep. But I think he's the kind of player teams need in today's NFL. You really do need that kind of player to survive, you know. So it gives you a lot of flexibility, you know. It makes your defense more adaptable,
more dynamic
and versatile. So I really like that about him. I think he gives you that ability for sure.
Yeah, next guy we'll be taking a look at is going to be Cameron Kitchens. When I looked him up, I actually spelled his name like Cameron just with a K, you know, typical spelling. And so I was like, where is this guy? And so I looked back and I was like, oh, I wrote it down wrong completely.
Did you spell Kitchens with a T too? Because it's K-I-N. So that's another weird.
I had that one written down correctly, but not his first name. He's out of Miami, the U. He's 5'11", 203. He played for 3 years. He's got 34 games there. 170 tackles with 22 pass breakups. He's got 11 interceptions with 57% completion percentage thrown his way. I think that's the highest we've seen today. He's got 5 touchdowns allowed on him, and then he's been in the box 9% of the time. We got a 4.65 on the 40, a 1.59 on his 10-yard split, and then a 35-inch vert.
Okay, so I'll tell you, this guy was the one who I had, like, the hardest eval on.
Uh-huh.
Because, once again, I said, you know, coming into it, you know, you hear like whatever about different guys, and then you kind of come and you form your own opinion based on the tape, right? Not a lot of people had said a lot about Cameron Kitchens, like that I thought was like, oh, he's a really elite prospect necessarily.
Yeah.
And then he kind of bombed at the combine.
Mm.
But
it's tough. That's always tough.
I'm watching his tape, and no one made me say wow more than this dude. To me, he's got to be the most. He was without a doubt, just off tape alone, without knowing numbers. I'm like, oh, this guy's without a doubt the most athletic safety in the draft. And then I go to his testing, and I'm like, oh, he ran a 4.65. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, he only jumped 35 in the vertical. And then I'm thinking, he only had a 9.2 broad jump. Cole Bishop is more athletic than him in every category. Right. I mean, a lot of these dudes were with the testing, but I'm just telling you, if you just watch the film and you see this guy, when you flip on the tape, which we're about to do, He yeah. looks like the fastest, most explosive player on the field. He looks bigger than 5'11". Like he, you know how you could tell, like with Javon Bullard.
I'm talking right now, and I read that.
Yeah, with Javon Bullard, I can tell he's 5'11". He looks 5'11". Yeah. Cameron Kitchens doesn't look 5'11". Like he has more, like I said, he has more wild plays than anybody else. And it also probably helps that he's super physical. That makes the difference too. But this is the first play that made me say, whoa, okay, this dude's different. I like this guy, right? All right, here we go. Against North Carolina, 10 yards, right? It's third and long. He's sitting at 10 yards, and he hits it on a dead sprint and kills the most athletic quarterback in the draft, like blows him up. Drake May never had a chance. Yeah. I was like, whoa, not a lot of people made Drake May look that unathletic. Ooh, he was like shot out of a cannon. But then the very next play against Louisville, he's in the deep middle of the field. I don't know how many safeties make that play, man. That's an elite play that he just made. I mean, the angle that he had to take to get there, look at how much ground he had to cover. He had to go from one hash to outside the other numbers. It's like a 30-yard run at an angle on a dead sprint. But then he comes back, and he's like playing over a slot, and it's a pick six. So I'm going, whoa, this dude is freaky. Like, he has to be a freaky athlete. And then the testing doesn't match that. But I'm just telling you, you watch it on film, the film just doesn't match, like, the numbers. Yeah. There's no way.
No doubt.
I would have guessed that he and Cole Bishop were flipped. Their numbers would be flipped based on the film that I watch. You know what I'm saying? Which is not to take anything away from Cole Bishop. It's just that Cameron Kitchens, when I watch the film, like he just makes more athletic plays. I mean, look at that play.
Mm-hmm. Like that. Yeah. The stretch.
The stretch at the end, right? Or against NC State. Look at this play. Again, like guy looks like he's jumping out of the gym to go get that ball. And again, maybe I'm fooling myself, but man, right here too, this doesn't look like 35-inch vert. My man went up there and got that and batted it down against Virginia and on the fourth and four, forced a turnover on downs. So I think his tape says he's an elite athlete. I know the testing doesn't. That's up for everyone to believe me. If you're only listening, I highly encourage you to either come watch this on YouTube so you can see this specific part of it, or just go look up Cameron Kitchens highlights and you'll see what I'm talking about. But the guy looks like a fantastic athlete, even though he didn't test that way. The physicality was the next thing that stands out. Again, despite being 5'11", in some places, by the way, he's listed at 6 foot. So who knows? You know, that's kind of one of those. Is he 5'11"? He's 6 foot. He plays the game with incredible physicality. His strength and power shows in his tackling skills, the ability to drive offensive players backwards. He plays like a guy, you know, like one of those old school safeties that people feared, right? This is a sick play right here on the sideline. He blasts this dude 6 yards out of bounds from the edge of the sideline. Poor Miami of Ohio receiver. I don't know who that is, but he got smoked right here.
Woo! Yeah, poor guy.
Here you go. All right, you're like, oh, that was Miami of Ohio. All right, let's see it against Florida State. See it against the Power Five back. Drives that dude backwards once again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great play on third down. Here against Virginia. Not only beats the block, but then makes the tackle for a loss on first and goal. Here you go against Louisville. Boom. Comes in like a bullet. Cleans it up. Right, his buddy had him stood up. He comes in and finishes him. Against Virginia. Again. From the point where that ball was caught to where he drove him out of bounds, it's negative 5 yards.
Yep.
Against Florida State, gets all the way over top of the wash. And that's Keon Coleman, okay? We talked about Keon Coleman's not a small dude. That's a 6'3", you know, 205-pound receiver that Cameron Kitchens is picking up off his feet and driving backwards. He really does play with really good leverage, plays with great power. I love his physicality. And the last but not least, he is pretty versatile. He played all over the place Miami's defense in 2023. His career box percentage was 9%, but he played more in the box than he played in 2023 than he did in prior years. He also played more in the slot than he had in prior years. Mm. He also played, obviously, still as the deep safety. You know, the fact that he was able to record 11 interceptions, but also 170 tackles, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries. You know, he had the sack against Drake May earlier. So we can see his athleticism lets him do a lot of different things on defense for that Miami defense. I think that'll translate to the NFL. You know, here it's like, okay, deep safety. I go get an interception.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. See the replay here on this, on the behind angle. Keeps the feet inbounds. Make sure he secures the catch. Great play. Okay, but now he's at the line of scrimmage and just blasting offensive linemen and help creating a fumble that he then goes and recovers against A&M, which was a crazy game, by the way. you know, you see the replay, but like, there's not a lot of safeties I know that can sit on the edge and drive an offensive lineman backwards when it's run to him. Like, most offenses want that matchup. Against Cameron Kitchens, you don't. Against NC State, right, breaking down in underneath zone coverage on the ball and forcing a pass breakup. And actually, this was it was zone coverage. It was just pattern matching, but it looks almost a little like man. Right here, now he is playing man on the slot receiver from 10 yards off. That's a great play, man. There's not a lot of safeties making that play and man-to-man coverage off the slot. Now he's back to the middle of the field. The break, interception. Can he make a house call? Not quite. They get him.
Ran back towards everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Helmet came off. Crowd's going crazy. Love to see it.
Now, again,
kind of like with Cole Bishop, his break wasn't my favorite. He was a little high, which is probably part of why the break wasn't great, but made the play. And then you can even put him in the box, let him fold back in, and he'll still finish people. I think this dude... like I said, he had the most plays where I said, oh my gosh, he's good. He's really good. A lot of these plays he's making, he makes them look easy, but they're just not. So, you know, people maybe, this is the part of the podcast where people think I'm being hot takey and I'm doing things just for clicks or whatever.
Hey, let's hear it.
But I'm just telling you, the guy reminds me of Minkah Fitzpatrick. The only safety that I could think of that can do all those things right now in the league who plays like that with that kind of physicality. I just let the tape with Minkah kind of speak for itself, but I mean, it's all the same things I talked about with Kitchens. Like,
yep.
The guy's elite athletically. He's extremely smart. He plays a number of roles. And when he gets to the football, the dude is either making a play on the ball itself, or he's so physical that you feel him. I mean, I love Minkah Fitzpatrick, so that might tip my hand on what I think of Cameron Kitchens, but Minkah Fitzpatrick's just a football player, man. Just does a lot, and he does it all well. He's willing to do whatever his team asks for him. I mean, he's blocking a field goal right there to go win a game, or I think it was an extra point maybe in overtime, something like that. Against New England, like, he's playing the deep safety now, getting an interception. So the guy does a little bit of everything, and he does it fast and violent, and that's what I think of when I think of Cameron Kitchens. So that's the comp I have there. Again, some people may be thinking I'm smoking something when I say that, but I'm just telling you, they look like similar players on film to me. So, Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said earlier, I had the most written down for him. I wrote down he was strong on his tackles. I mean, we saw plenty of plays where he comes up to make the tackle, and they don't gain yards after that contact. It's always backwards, or it's right in that exact spot. I said he has good hands and that he's acrobatic. We saw plenty of crazy plays where he's got his interceptions coming flying across, high pointing it, you know, losing his feet off the, like, when he's coming down with it, but he still has it, you know what I mean? Like, impressive stuff in the pass game for his interceptions. And then I wrote down leg drive kind of ties in with him strong at the tackling point, where he's going to keep driving his legs to push you backwards. You're not gaining any more yards after that contact. And then I said he keeps everything in front of him. So, like, he's never, like, out of position, you know what I mean? He's not getting beat deep or anything. He's literally... he's always coming up to do something, never falling behind and, like, back to the ball, at least from what I saw. So, yeah, he was impressive for sure. And I didn't realize he was 5'11 until I read that. And I was like, that's also crazy. Because
he looks way bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like he's 6'1". Yeah. Right now, I've seen some stuff. He's another one that, along with Tyler Newbin, is kind of like, sometimes people like him enough that he sneaks into round one. Feels a lot more likely he's a day two pick, somewhere around two or three. He's got like one of the weirdest variations in draft positioning that I've seen for some of our prospects. Like I've seen a mock that had him at 28, and then I saw a mock that had him at the, you know, sort of top end of round three. So we'll see. I think he probably is likely to go around pick 50, like somewhere in there.
That makes sense.
I still think that he has the highest ceiling for all the safeties in the draft. His versatility, physicality, the competitiveness, that makes him a fun chess piece, I think, for any DC. Like I said, I think his athleticism, despite not testing well, shows the traits of like a Pro Bowl type safety. So,
yeah,
I can believe me if you want to, or don't. That's my thoughts on him.
All right, last guy we got on the ticket today is going to be Kalen Bullock out of USC. It's going to be Southern California for some people. I mean, we got 6'2", 188. He played for 3 years. We got 38 games with 157 tackles, 24 pass breakups with 9 interceptions. 50% completion percentage thrown at him. He's got 6 touchdowns allowed on him, and then he played in the box 7% of the time. We got 4.48 on his 40 with a 1.51 on his 10-yard split, and then 9.2 on the broad jump.
Yeah. Kalen Bullock, I think, is sort of underrated. Not a lot of people have him kind of sitting in their top 5 at the moment. There's a lot of reasons that I like about him. He's a little raw. He played in the USC defense that wasn't very good. Probably doesn't help his case, but
yeah, that's tough.
I think he's got a lot to like. I mean, number one, the kid is 6'2 with 32.5-inch arms. It shows in his ability to break up passes, getting hands on receivers, beating them to the catch point. And then, you know, it's pretty impressive that for being in a slimmer frame, he shows surprising strength. He made multiple tackles near the goal line that kept backs who far outweighed him from getting into the end zone. He was surprisingly strong in a lot of his tackles. So, you know, my first thing about him that I loved is the strength and length. Here you go against Colorado. A really good tackle by the kid. You know, I mean, coming down full speed from depth like that, too, it's a hard one to make. And if you're looking for, okay, let me see it against Notre Dame. Hey, there's another one on third down against the back. Keeps him from getting to the first down marker. Huge play in that game. Here's one of those ones I was talking about. Dude, that back outweighs him by 30 pounds. Okay. And he's like, no, you're not getting in the end zone today. Does it again against Arizona right here. Ooh. Like, I'm going to stand you up and drive you back. So that strength, it shows up. And I think he's just a competitive kid, dude. I love that part about him. Because you could just tell, man, there's no way you're 188 pounds, someone's 212, and they're trying to run you over to the end zone and you win that battle unless you just are strong and competitive as crap. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like that about him. And then the man coverage skills for a safety are pretty good. You know, he's built more like a corner to me.
Definitely.
He's got really fluid movements, played extremely well in man coverage when they asked him to do it. Only allowed 3.1 yards per target in man coverage during 2023. The length and the movement skills make him better than most safeties in terms of man cover skills. And then, you know, he likes to get his eyes back, cheat, go get himself an interception right here, and go score on it against Utah. Big-time play. Here you go in the red zone. This is one of his best reps, a man all season against Stanford. That's where that length in the arms comes through, makes the big-time play. On the pass breakup. Yes, sir. Oof. Great job. The long arms help, I'm telling you. Once again, man coverage against Arizona. The long arms come in handy again, a little hook stab. So I think that the man coverage skills are there. And then last but not least, his best tape is when he's playing in the middle of the field right now because he's so fast. His speed in the middle of the field let him get truly like sideline to sideline, man. The jumping ability shows up too, let him be a huge playmaker in the middle of their defense. A lot of his interceptions came when he was in the middle of the field. So here you go against Arizona State. He gets to the middle of the field. I mean, dude, guy runs from the middle of the field to the numbers in like 2 seconds. That's like a really quick catch and throw. Yeah. And he goes and makes that interception. Another one. Sideline to sideline, dude. Now, that one's not an interception. He breaks up the pass, but it's a great play nonetheless. The breaking downhill from the middle of the field against Stanford, and again, nearly has an interception. He's upset with himself. And then even from the middle of the field, I love, like, again, physicality. I'm going to go flip somebody. Coming up from that middle of the field spot to go make a tackle. And then here's one more against Arizona State. I think they called it incomplete, but the fact that he even made it,
a
question is impressive. Reminds me a lot of a NFL vet now, Malik Hooker, coming out of Ohio State. Malik Hooker's put on a little bit more weight than where Kalen Bullock sits, but the speed in the middle of the field, it's always been Malik Hooker's strength, is being able to play in that middle of the field and go make plays. Here you go. He gets the overthrow against the Rams to seal the game.
Yeah, I'll just take it.
Then you see a little bit of the kind of the man coverage finishing element there that you saw with Kalen Bullock.
In the high
point. Tips and overthrows, man. When you're that middle of the field safety, you got to get all those, and he does a really good job of it. I mean, his fit with Dan Quinn in Dallas, where Dan Quinn runs so much cover three and letting Malik Hooker be that middle of the field safety, I think that's like an ideal landing spot for Kalen Bullock. Is something like that, where it could just let him play as much middle of the field using that speed as much as possible. And then Kalen Bullock's become an improved tackler. And I think Malik Hooker does that, at a higher level than most would have anticipated when he came out. I think Kalen Bullock can do a little bit of that too. So, but what are your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, similar to him, what I just said, playing the high point of the ball, we saw plenty of plays where he's going up to bat it down or trying to get that pick, not letting the ball, like, come to the receiver. He's going to go handle the issue with, like, the defender in his face. He's going up trying to get it, make sure they don't make that play. I said he was powerful, similar to what you had with the strength and length. I mean, plenty of plays where he's coming up, laying the hat, making sure, they feel his presence. He's coming in to smack you. You're not gonna gain some yards after that contact. Said he runs smooth, and when he gets his picks, he just looks like a fluid runner. I know, like, he he kind of transitioned over to the defensive side. Like, he looks comfortable with the ball in his hands. And then I just said he plays with swag. There wasn't many plays that we saw with like a celebration afterwards from him on here, but in the highlight tape, it looks like he feels himself out there on the field. And maybe that comes with him, being able to make plays on the ball where he's like, I just did that. Like, he'll like talk in your ear a little bit, just making sure he keeps his confidence high. Not saying that it ever fades, but like, you could tell he's just enjoying himself.
Yep. I think, I've seen a lot of stuff. Once again, he's kind of in that day two range, lot round three, Mm-hmm. Somewhere in that pick 60 to 90 range, a lot of where I've seen him. I think I said this, a second ago, but I just think he'll excel in a one high base defense that allows him to play in that middle field more often than anything else. And then he'll do well, when you ask him to play a little man coverage on some slot receivers. As long as he continues his improvement as a tackler, I think he ends up as a starting safety in the NFL because of those traits. Mm-hmm. Someone will probably get a steal. In that third round, because I think he's a starting caliber kid. Just little raw, played it in a tough defense at SC.
Definitely.
I mean, a team, once again, I think someone who runs a similar style to Dan Quinn defensively is the perfect spot for that kid. I mean, maybe Washington would be a great spot for him to go play because he would probably be allowed to do all that stuff that he does well there. So excited to see where he goes, but I think someone ends up with a steal with this kid.
Not bad. Did you want me to go first in the rankings today? I think
let's
you went
do
first
it.
Last time. Let's see. So for me, I went with Tyler Newbin as one. I think, it kind of tells you with the projections even, he's a first round guy. I mean, I think he truly did the most out of everyone. Granted, we didn't get to see his numbers. Hopefully, the pro day comes in and we get to see him perform there. But I feel like he's probably got the most upside on anyone in terms of getting on the field early. I like Kalen Bullock, I guess. I don't remember when I did this early in the morning, so my bad. But I mean, with him, I mean, obviously he's a little bit smaller. That's probably like his only knock in terms of it. But the power he plays with, you know, he likes having that chip on his shoulder. So he could do some things. And then, like you said, being at SC is also tough. But if he's, you know, got the chance to go to the NFL, being on that tough defense, yeah, that says something for the guy. And then I like Cole Bishop. Obviously, he plays in the box a lot. That's going to be, you know, a different aspect of the game that we get to see out of someone. But I liked him being able to do a lot in the run game and not necessarily, you know, as I talked about with Javon Ballard, where he's not going for ankles. He's going to lay the hat on you, be up in your face. Like you said, what was it, the facing the fan, is that what you're saying? Yeah, mm-hmm. I liked seeing that a lot from him. My fourth guy, I went with Cameron Kitchens. He, very similar, I think, to Cole Bishop, where, you know, when the ball is coming his way, he was going to lay hat, and you weren't getting past that contact. And, you know, I think those ones, you know, you could flip-flop them if you really want, where they're just similar dudes. One's going to be in the box a little bit more, of course. And then lastly, I went with Javon Bullard. I think the size is what kept him from being higher on my list. And I, like I said, I felt like he could be better as a corner and not necessarily the safety, but that's also probably just me hating on his size.
All right, so I think people know kind of where I'm going, but number one, I got Cameron Kitchens. I'm probably the only dude, it feels like, in America right now that's watched these dudes that likes Cameron Kitchens as my as his number one safety, but I do. His tape, to me, it wowed me so much. I knew what I had in Tyler Newbin, and I was pretty sure he was going to be my number one guy after watching his tape, but then I watched Cameron Kitchens after him, and I was like, oof. Oh, Cameron Kitchens just does a lot, man. And, so I've got him number one. I think he gives you the most flexibility if you're a defensive coordinator. Number two, Tyler Newbin's going to be steady. I'm like, Cameron Kitchens has a high ceiling, but I also could see him bombing out too.
Yeah.
So, but Tyler Newbin, I'm like, I know that guy's going to be good. I know he's going to be steady. That. He's going to have a great career. He's going to be like Harrison Smith, man. He's going to get drafted by a team, and he's going to be so good that they just, you know, they keep paying him to come back. Number three, I've got Javon Bullard. I really do think that he was one of the ones, him and Kitchens surprised me the most on tape. I think his hip fluidity was really impressive. Some of the stuff he did where you could tell he grinds tape and he saw stuff before it happened. I love that about him. Number four, I've got Kalen Bullock. The speed, man. The speed is crazy. It's electric. You put that guy in the middle of the field and let him just go make plays. And then number five, Cole Bishop. You know, I think what he brings is super valuable. It's a lot different than those other four guys, but you got to have it. And I think he'll be able to carve out a role for himself. He's so versatile. He can do so many different things. He's a chess piece that you want to have on your team. Someone, once again, is going to take him. And I think if they're smart, they move him around. They do a lot of different things with him. They take advantage of his skill set. Some guys who just missed a list for us. Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. Tyke Smith out of Georgia. That's Bullard's teammate. Another teammate here is Siom Vaki from Utah, Cole Bishop's teammate. And then Jalen Key, an Alabama safety. It's hard not to get these Alabama safeties in here, man. Alabama DBs are always good. They're always good, so it's surprising one didn't sneak in here. And then Keaton Oladapo from Oregon State. Another good one. There's like I said, the safety class is a little bit deeper, I think, than people think. I think there's going to be some dudes who can help quicker than expected. I really like those first five, though. I think we've got a really good group that's – I think it's got some dudes who could be Pro Bowlers, man.
Yeah, no, I feel that. And then, you know, as we near these quarterbacks, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I know we're going to see plenty of them jump off the list early. You know what I mean? So it'll be fun to see the different skill sets, see where why everyone's picking who to go one, you know, who's going to go two, who's going to go three. The reason they pick someone else, so that'll be fun. And you know, we're at that point where, you know, you listen, you made it this far, comment, like, subscribe. We need those in our bag. You know, I just peeped the numbers while we're at it. We were up higher the other day. We dropped a little bit. I, you know, we got some fluctuation going on, but you know, any feedback's always good. Nice having, you know, people come back on the day-to-day to listen. Appreciate all of those. And anything else you got for us, bro?
No, things coming up. We got the quarterbacks next week. We'll have a special guest on. And then after that, be prepared because it's going to be mock draft season and we'll finally release our big board fully finished. And our mock draft will be coming soon thereafter. So keep an eye out for those things coming up before the draft happens. We appreciate all the support. As always, we got our guy.
Right.
Take us out.
Everything's starting to change. It's all good, it's just growing pains.